Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Kind of a fitting rejoin there. Just let this man introduce himself. Jesse Kurtz is on the line with us, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network, talking all things Mountain West football side of things. Jesse, always appreciate your time, my friend.
Yeah, let me see if I get my voice to sound like it did back on that day. That was good stuff.
That was solid, man. That was some solid work there, my friend. That was fantastic.
We try. One time a year.
Yeah, some people ask me, they're like, do they just record that every day? Do they just call in and say that every single now? They don't really ask that, but it would be funny if they did. Interesting weekend as we're really getting into the thick of it. We got all the college football teams were in action last week, and a lot to bust into, Jesse, just looking at some of the scores around the area. Want to pick your brain first and foremost, though. South Dakota State beaten up on Colorado State 42-23. I'll tell you, it has us here around northern Colorado just kind of pressing that panic button, kind of freaking out a little bit.
No, I get it. I mean, for sure, you look at that and you say, how does that happen when a team from an FCS level comes in and pushes an FBS team around? But anyone who's been around college football understands the level of football that South Dakota State plays. I mean, it is certainly on an FBS level. It's a lot like North Dakota State. And those teams that come out of the Missouri Valley, they get some transfers in from D1s. They get those kids that have a chip on their shoulder. And then a combination of that and those big farm boys that just are physical. So, I mean, are there a lot of people that are shocked that South Dakota State went in there and won? Maybe, but there are a lot that are not. And that scheduling, that's a tricky proposition, right? And that, you know, South Dakota State, after what they did there, they're going to have a hard time scheduling some FBS opponents, because I'll guarantee you that there are coaches around this country that said, I will not touch that game for that reason, because South Dakota State plays on a very elite level at the FCS level, and those teams at that level can go in and win those games, because it's a heck of a motivating factor for those guys, whether it be they left FBS programs, weren't recruited by FBS programs, they see it, that is their chance to maybe make a splash as far as an NFL scout looking at them, make themselves attractive to the NFL. So, I mean, is it shocking? Maybe not. Is it concerning? Perhaps, but I guess you're only as good as your next game. So we'll love to see how Colorado State bounces back this weekend and in a big game, obviously, against an SEC opponent.
I know, it's weird, right? It's Vanderbilt, and they've been struggling. They, of course, they struggled big time last week. But it's weird to say, hey, all your hopes of getting this thing back on track early rest in playing an SEC school. Granted, it's Vanderbilt, but it's a weird statement to make.
It's funny that you say, well, we get some reprieve now because we're playing the SEC and not the Missouri Valley, right?
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I don't think after what we saw last weekend, I wouldn't be shocked if South Dakota State matched up with Vanderbilt and gave them a run and beat the Commodores. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people would be shocked by that because of the level that South Dakota State has played, and at least the level recently that Vanderbilt's played. So, you know, what a way to get back on track in a nationally televised game against an SEC opponent. I hope, as a graduate of that great institution in Fort Collins, I hope that the crowd is as electric as it was, because by all accounts of friends that were there and what I saw on TV, that's what it needs to be like every single Saturday, win or loss. I mean, if you can get that place rocking like it was early, and the firsthand accounts that I got from friends and family that were there, that will only help get this program over the hump that they just haven't been able to get here as of, you know, recently, in the last 5-6 years. That can be the driving force. It absolutely can.
Yeah, and that's what was another tough pill to swallow, too, is not just the loss and the way you lost, but the fact that you had a huge turnout and there's an opportunity to grab these fans. You know, a lot of these students that were out there, they'd never been to Canvas Stadium. A lot of the,
sure,
you know, with no fans last year. So, but we'll see. It's going to be an 8 o'clock game. I'm actually heading out as a fan. I'm not messing with that press box business this weekend. I'm going as a fan. My dad's coming up. We're excited. He's never been to the stadium, so we'll at least be loud. I know that. That'll be fun.
Well, it's a great venue. It's a great, proud program, and I know that they got to be close. It's been too long that Colorado State hasn't been, you know, one of the elite teams in the West. There was a time where they were the team that nobody wanted to play, and no one was shocked if they went to Michigan State and won, went to Arizona and won. They can get there, but it takes the whole package. It takes the students, it takes fans like you and your dad going, and it takes buy-in from players and coaches. And if you don't have all of those parts rowing in the same direction, it can be hard. So if everyone can pull in that same direction, I know this program can get back to that point. But there's no question that took a little bit of a punch on the chin last Saturday.
We're talking to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. There were three really big games in the conference that I was very excited about. Fresno State, Oregon, San Jose, USC, and of course Nevada and Cal. Let's look at, I mean, my goodness, Fresno State, Oregon. I mean, we got to start, we're starting to talk. I know they end up losing that game 31-24, but the Ducks, that's a top-ranked team there. So if you're a Bulldogs fan, and if you're a fan of the Mountain West, I mean, this was a pretty interesting game.
Yeah, it was. And I think we talked last week that I thought on the West side that there were four teams that if you told me they won the division, wouldn't shock me. And Fresno State was in that conversation because of Jake Haener. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a late turnover late in that game cost Fresno State a chance to win that game. You know, they're winning in the fourth quarter, 24-21. You say, geez, they're in Eugene. One of the toughest places to play in America, and a top 10 team, a team that thinks that they'll be in the mix for a playoff spot, for them to go in there and kind of flex their muscles a la the old Florida State or the old Fresno State teams. You know, Jake Haener throws for almost 300 yards, and they do this with Ronnie Rivers having an average game by his account. So, you know, Fresno State's going to be there right at the end. Kalen DeBoer is a terrific offensive coach. He's a terrific motivator. And they've got players. I mean, Jake Haener and Jordan Mims and Ronnie Rivers and Jalen Cropper, they've got players. So they're going to be in it. And it didn't shock me that they, you know, at least were in it. Did it shock me they had a lead in the fourth quarter? Absolutely. But that's a very good football team, and they'll be in it at the end.
Yeah, it'll be fun to follow along and watch them. The other one was interesting. Okay, USC beat San Jose State 30-7. It's one of those strange games, though. San Jose State they were kind of in this thing for the most part. USC kind of blows this one open late. But tell us your thoughts there, because I know both of us, we were talking pretty highly about San Jose State, Nick Starkel. But USC gets theirs at the end of this one.
Yeah, again, you're going into one of the toughest places to play in America, a historic venue against a team that has its pick of recruits, certainly in the West, but across America too. And you've got San Jose State, a program that's still on the upswing. They're down just 6 points in the third quarter, and you like where you sit. Anytime when you go in and you're a heavy underdog into a place like that, and you've got a one-score game, maybe late in the third, into the fourth, you like where you sit. But obviously, USC kind of runs away with it. Nick Starkel, who's a gunslinger, I mean, you're going to love a lot of things he does, and you'll kind of scratch your head sometimes, but that's what makes him great. He's kind of got that Brett Favre, just go after it mentality. Had a pick six on him again. Greg Johnson took it the other way, that kind of put that game on ice. But a lot of things to build on if you're Brent Brennan and company, that you had SC on the ropes. You had them, you know, kind of worried a little bit about where they sat in that third quarter. You won't face another team as tough, or that venue as tough, that combination, the rest of the year. So I think there's a lot to be liking when you're a San Jose State fan and what they did in L.A.
Yeah, well, and moving on to this one, this was a fun one. I mean, Nevada, California, start off 14-0. Nevada bounces back, but Carson Strong, what a gritty performance in that one. That game was a blast to watch.
Well, Carson Strong is an elite quarterback, and I think that by the end of his career at Nevada, if we're not talking about him as one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL draft, I'll be surprised. You know, he routinely throws for 300 yards. I believe it's five straight games that he's done that. Threw for 312, couple of touchdowns, never let his team panic. And the thing about Carson Strong that I think a lot of NFL scouts that I've talked to like, he still is fairly green when it comes to you know, playing a lot of football. Didn't play his entire senior year in high school because of an injury. So he goes into Nevada. Nobody recruited him except for really Nevada. His only scholarship offer, wins a scout team award his freshman year, redshirt freshman year, earns a starting job, plays most of the season, and then last year is the offensive player of the year in the Mountain West, and he started right on that trajectory again. So, you know, they see this kid who's still green, who's still learning, whose upside is really high. I mean, he is on a fast track, and he's just finished his sophomore season, so he could have a couple more years of college football, but he just puts in the time. And Jay Norvell told me that a lot of that time happens at home. He lives with Romeo Dubs, one of the best wide receivers in the country, and they work tirelessly together on route running, on ball placement, on breaking down film, just talking football. So he's kind of a football nerd, and when you're a quarterback, you love a guy like that. And he's only going to get better, which is why I think he will be, you know, the next great quarterback that comes out of the Mountain West, a la Josh Allen and, you know, Derek Carr. So those guys have paved the way for a guy like Carson Strong.
Jesse, last one for you. Just looking around, I mean, again, I know it's the first weekend for most teams. Some have a couple of games under their belt, but looking at hot seats, I know this is a tricky territory, but you wonder, I mean, is there already, are you already kind of getting that alert, the Mountain West Conference hot seat after just one full week of football? Because I know the talk at CSU, it's a scary time right now, and Adazio has only coached five games for this team.
Yeah, and I think that's the key stat right there is five, right? I mean, the sample is so small right now to really hit any panic button. And look, any coach will tell you if you talk to them about it, you're worried for your job, or you know, you talk to an administrator, is this person coaching for their job? They're all coaching for their job every single week. This is a week to week win or you're in trouble business, and they all understand that and they thrive in that. Again, being one game into the season, they can still be 11-1, and then everyone is celebrating, you know, that particular coach's success, and they forget about that. But, you know, trends obviously start dictating decisions, but the sample size is so small right now, given last year a shortened season, this year only one or in some cases two games. I don't know that there's any hot seats, but believe me, every coach feels the pressure to win, and that never goes away, and most of them love that because it drives them to be, you know, the achiever that they've been in their entire career that have got them to this point to have an elite job in the Mountain West.
Yeah, well, it, you know, like you said, it's a small sample size, and that's why we got plenty of games in front of us to figure out what this, what the conference is going to look like, what these coaches are going to look like. Jesse, always appreciate you, my friend, and glad we got this hooked up. I love your insight into the Mountain West Conference.
We're just getting started, baby.
Just getting started. I love it, my friend. All right, we'll talk to you soon. That's Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. 48 minutes after the hour, up against a break here. We'll take a short break and come back, get to what's on the tube tonight. Yeah, there might be a couple of things that we can glance at. We know tomorrow is going to be the big one, though. All right, we'll be right back.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.